Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Children of all ages. It's the circus.
Musical theater lovers.
Musical theater lovers of all ages. It's the circus. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm feeling pretty good today. Good morning, Robert.
It's a good dawn.
Nice Thursday morning. The windows are open. The trees have been cleaned up. The limbs have been... And Astoria, man, it was great. Maybe you saw pictures, but there was full limbs, full trees, you know, over Robbie Roselle posted a picture. And I just couldn't believe
folks,
it.
Folks, to quote Sophia Petrillo in Golden Girls, there's a hurricane a-coming. I saw you, but was that on your street there? I saw trees turned over on cars.
Oh yeah, no, that was in the story, but not down the street a little bit. Yeah, it was wild.
Wow.
It was pretty, it was a little crazy. Yeah.
I thought it was nice. I thought I was going to have to board up my windows. My whole apartment was shaking.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. Wow. It was actually, I was like, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
I was like, what a way to go, eating Ben and Jerry's, watching Golden Girls.
I'm just going to say Golden Girls, that's what was on.
Always. I was like, I want to go out with a smile on my face and a song in my heart.
Robert, I saw a really cool picture that I actually did not believe was real when I saw it. Will you please tell our listeners, relating to this topic, what that is that you, did you end up buying it?
Of course, my friends. Did I have to what?
Did you buy it?
Oh, yes, I did. Well, folks, this past weekend was my first time out of my apartment since early March. I have not gone anywhere. I feel like I'm like in a prison cell over here, but a nice rent-controlled prison cell with laundry in the building and a gym, if anyone's interested in subletting at some point. So I went off to Bucks County, Pennsylvania to visit my uncle. Bucks County, if you know from our history, is a very fertile theatrical ground. It not only has the Bucks County Playhouse, it was the home to both George S. Kaufman and Oscar Hammerstein II. Guess what I did? I went to both of their houses.
How fun. Actually, I've vacationed in Bucks County. I went to New Hope. I love it there. It's so beautiful, that little town on the river where the Playhouse is. Tell us about what the – because it's a museum. Isn't the Hammerstein House a bit of a museum?
It's
preserved, and you see his writing table and all
exactly.
of that?
Exactly. It's an inn. It's preserved. So I went in, of course, because of COVID, there was nobody there except a young girl. And I was like, hi, can I see the house? And she's like, sure. She goes, my mom – owns the inn, but I'm having my birthday party here. She's like, so if you come on in, aww. He's like, please, you know, there's a birthday party. I was like, I wanted to spend more time there, but it was her and her friends. And I was like, I don't want to like intrude. So I went in, I saw his piano. I sat at his piano.
That's so cool.
I sat on that porch. Remember where there's a famous photo of him writing on the typewriter. I sat there. I sat in the rocking chair. It was very cool. It was very cool. It was, and you can feel the history when you walk in.
Yeah, I've got to go. I can't believe I've never gone.
I'm going to find out how much a room at the inn is, and I'm going
to... I know. What a fun way to visit. I mean,
right?
That's really cool. I didn't know it turned into an inn. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, and then I went to George S. Kaufman's estate, which is also an inn as well. but also, it was just, it's so cool. So I did that. But there's also Bucks County has, I think, some of the oldest and largest antique shops in the country.
And so much fun.
So I went through one and I was browsing around, and I looked over and there were the four Golden Girls in a beautiful brown frame, matted in a baby pink, which made me so happy. And it's all autographed. And so I was like,
signed.
Each one is signed.
Each one of them on their picture. I cannot get over it.
And I will have no problem telling you. I paid only $350 for it. And my friend was like, "Did you haggle?" And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "The guy wanted $250," and I said, "But this is." "But this is B. Arthur, $350." So I took it.
Oh man, I fell for that hook, line, and sinker. I took it. Good, Rob.
But yeah, so now the girls, all four of them, signed, looking over me.
Oh my goodness!
And I'll post a photo. It's on my Instagram, but I'll post another photo because I'm really proud of them. So yeah, that's.
I love it. I love it. What a
those
good
are my ladies.
My favorite pastime is thrifting. So that's what something I love to do. We'd go to antique malls and stores like that. And you never know. I mean, I found my Follies, you know, concert album signed by Barbara Cook, Elaine Stritch, and Stephen Sondheim. I mean, I still can't believe that. You know, you never know what you're going to find in these places. It's so much fun.
That is incredible.
It's so much fun. I love that you have that purchase.
It's really so funny. In honor of Sutton, in some way, I thought of her this weekend. I, for the first time in my life, it's a kind of honor in your wife and in honor of Buddy Hackett. I had a crystal ball reading.
You're right. She would love that. That's
I awesome. Did. I was almost going to text.
Wow.
Well, you know what?
At the thrift store, at the antique mall as well?
No, I asked to take a selfie with the fortune reader, and he was like, no, you can't. Because I was going to take it and send it to Sutton and be like, look what I'm doing. I had my crystal ball read.
Wow. Where was this? Was this in Pennsylvania, in Bucks County?
This was right across the street from the Bucks County Playhouse.
We know exactly which store you're talking about. We've been there, and Sutton, we cannot wait to go back again. There's awesome occult stores there. Yes.
Yeah, I had some time to kill, and I was like, I've never done this before. So I walk in, and it's only a guy behind plexiglass now because of COVID. So it's like those old prison movies where you're like talking to them on the phone. This guy's, he's a big boy. He's like 400, 450 pounds, right? And he's got tats all over himself with a shaved
head. Nice.
And I'm like, you obviously are very familiar, I think, with our penal system. So I sat down and I said to him, he goes, I swear to you, he talked just like this. I'm not making this up. He goes, hello, my name is Robert. I'm fourth generation psychic. My great grandmother, Edith, she was the first psychic. So I'm the fourth psychic. Please excuse the smell of fried shrimp. I just had lunch. And I looked over and there was a styrofoam container of like fried shrimp. And I was like, oh, he really did just have lunch. And so he did a crystal ball reading and he was scarily perceptive, but he told me something that I just don't like. I said to him, I'm like, so, you know, like he goes, the reason a lot of bad things happen to you in this life is because in your last life, you were a soldier and you got killed in war, but you killed a lot of people brutally. And the residue of that is what's carrying over into this life. I was like, I was a soldier? I don't really. Wow.
It's so specific. It's so.
What? All what right. War? Because right now, in my present life, I'm fighting the Battle of the Bulge. Get
oh,
it?
Oh, my God.
That's a Tony Fields joke, kids. That's a Tony Fields joke.
There it is.
I said to him, he goes, but you can get rid of this. I said, well, how do you get rid of the bad residue? I said, well, how do you do it? Needless to say, it involved giving him $900. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just stick with my bad luck. I'll take my bad juju.
But you know what? You should get a tarot card reading. Sutton does tarot card readings. You should
Well, that's the next thing I want to do.
It's actually really cool. I can hook you up.
Has she done one for you?
She did actually. Yeah. Because now she's really, she started her own business and she's got a partner that she does crystal work as well.
So folks, if you want to have your tarot card read, we can hook you up with Sutton. But I
check
think
out Sutton
we should,
Crawford.
I think we
not
should
biased
do
biased at all.
I think we should do one episode, Kevin, where she does our cards together.
It's very interesting. It's, you know, and I'm completely skeptic about everything. And so but I love it and I support her. And I think it's really cool that I've learned a lot about it actually. So I think it's really interesting.
I was fully,
it is fun.
I was fully invested until I heard $900.
And then
skeptical. Now I'm skeptical.
No. There's a holistic way of that people, you know, come about it actually with other art forms. That the crystal ball, I don't know much about that. I know more about the tarot and crystals and
I don't know a lot about the crystal ball except there were fried shrimp remnants all over the ball. So I don't know if he saw exactly everything he needs to see. He kept saying, you're gonna go into the sea. You're gonna be plucked from the sea. I think you're reading the shrimp, sir.
You're smelling the salt air.
I think you're
the fake salt air.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. But he wouldn't even take a selfie with me.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, folks, one of the episodes you're going to hear, Sutton will come on and she will give us, she'll do our cards.
Love it.
I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, totally. She would love that.
I would love it.
So do you have a favorite thing?
I do, but we also have trivia. Do you want to talk about trivia?
Oh, my goodness, that's right, of course. We took off. We're going to go every other week now.
Because we took a break.
Saturday night is trivia night, folks. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, trivia night. Theme is musicals of the 1960s. Woohoo!
Are you excited?
I actually am excited. I'd told Rob that I was going to do a category of off-Broadway musicals, but after doing some research, it's not enough musicals that are known, and it's just no. Really, am I going to sing a song from Cindy, and everyone's going to be like, "Oh yes, there's that off-Broadway hit, Cindy." No,
I was going to say, how many songs from The Secret Life of Walter Mitty can you do?
Exactly. I mean, we could do you know, a little bit of Fantastics, and then we can do a little more Fantastics, and then I have another fun category, and I think it'll involve composers who had flops in the 60s, even though they had hits before or after. So hit composers with flop shows.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so excited. And you're gonna sing, right?
Yeah, I'll sing and play.
That's all that matters. Kevin sounds so good. Everyone loves when you sing, Kevin. Your voice is like butter.
This is fun because you get to, I mean, this is the fun decade. I mean, I feel like we've already doing 60s, we're gonna want to do it again because it's so many great shows, it's hard to pick.
Will we get to hear any Jack Cassidy?
Why can't I walk away?
Yes.
Maggie Flynn, of course. My goodness. No, I did that. I think that was like the very first trivia we ever had. I think I did
that. Yes, but there's no reason why you can't do it again is all I'm saying.
Who doesn't want to hear Maggie Flynn?
There's nothing wrong with a revival. So, yeah, so the 60s are our theme this week, Saturday, 8 p.m. Once again, you can go onto our Instagram, find out how you can pay, or I can tell you right now, you can send me on Venmo $5. You can do it on PayPal at robwschneider@gmail.com. Or you can go and donate to our organization this week, which is CLASP, which helps low-income people have legal representation. You can donate to them directly and then just send us a screenshot and we'll send you the Zoom code. But we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to hearing Kevin
sing.
It's
going to be fun. We're going to have some fun stuff. We're going to have some fun clips as always. And as always, folks, even if you don't know all the shows, it's still always a good time because we like to entertain and gossip and chat with everybody, see our faces. It's really fun. It's nice to see, to put a face with all of the names that we see all the time. Nope.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is fun to see everyone's faces.
Sorry, Bob just made a face and it got me good. Sorry. You cracked me up, sir. You cracked me up.
No, it is.
Yeah, join us Saturday night, and we're gonna for a good pause, and we look forward to seeing y'all there.
I agree. I am excited to see everybody. I'm also excited to jump into favorite things this week. Are you ready?
Drop some roses,
yeah. Some whiskers on kittens.
I'll go first because mine's just first. I'm surprised we haven't ever talked about it. It's one of those items that I think you'll find that you're going to agree with me. But you know, when we were kids growing up before the internet. I feel like one of those people, but you know, when we went to the library to get books, but you know, well, we didn't have YouTube. We didn't have all that stuff. And I only say that because there were certain VHS cassettes and certain videos that were very indelible in our sort of musical theater upbringing, especially in the 80s. I think there wasn't a lot, you know, your friend Becky, I remember, had the Mr. Producer video the other day. Yes. Or the other month at the beginning of COVID. And I remember her posting videos of it on Instagram. And I thought, oh my gosh, I love that Mr. Producer video. This is not my favorite thing today, but, my favorite thing is with that same producer though, Cameron McIntosh. You know, very rarely do we actually get to see the process of musicals being made before the year 1990 or the year, you know, 2000 even. You know, we have the Hamilton in the back, you know, understanding how they made Hamilton, which is on Disney Plus now. But, you know, a big epic show like Miss Saigon, for instance, to have a documentary about the making of that would be very interesting. And it is. And they did make a documentary. And so the documentary I would like to talk about is The Heat Is On, The Making of Miss Saigon. This is one of the first documentaries of theater I ever saw when I was a kid. I loved the show, of course, because it was right, you know, I was the perfect age to enjoy it. And the first CD, the second CD I didn't listen to as much. But The Heat Is On, The Making of Saigon. It goes through the process. It has Cameron McIntosh, Nicholas Heitner, the director, Claude Michel, the composer, Claude Michel Schoenberg, and Alan Beaublil, the writer. A little bit of Richard Maltby Jr. peppered in there, of course. And of Leia Salonga, of course, is very heavily featured in it. She's like a teenager. I mean, she's like 16 or younger, very young at the time. And she was discovered, even though she had put out an album when she was like 10, but she was, for all intents and purposes, you know, worldwide discovered in this. And it just goes, it's very, you know, very raw. And it's, you know, no one made documentaries back then. And it goes through the creation of the musical. They actually go to the Philippines. You see them meeting Leia. You see the composer at the piano teaching the music. You see them going through the casting process. You see her friend go with her, who is eventually cast as Gigi, I believe, goes with her to London. You see that rehearsal process with Jonathan Pryce. And it's just really fascinating. It's only 80 minutes long. It's on YouTube. So if you just type in, the Heat Is On, The Making of Miss Saigon, that you might not see that. You might see it come up in like a couple parts, like part one, and then it'll take you to part two. Or if you see one that is about a little over 70 minutes, and it says Vietnam Brockway, Brokway, misspelled, but that is the full video. You'll see that there, and it'll say Miss Saigon Making. But if it looks like a video from the 1980s that you have to press the tracking button on the VCR, then you got the right video. But you know, this is it definitely is an insight into musicals of the 80s, the epic musical, but how at the core, behind the helicopter and all of the craziness, there were just a bunch of people trying to put on a show. And I think it's a really cool insight and a view into that in that little period of time. So, da-dun-dun.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Wait, really? I thought, because I actually had to look up if we had talked about it before years ago.
I know it exists. I know it exists. I've never seen it.
It's easy. It's an easy watch. It's like, it's 70 minutes long. It's so worth it. It's really interesting. And to see all these people, I mean, I eventually would be in Les Mis with Leia and get to know her really well. And to see, you know, them back then, you know, younger, you know, including, you know, Nicholas Heitner and all of Cameron McIntosh and all these people that now 30 years later have become, you know, just still so the top of their game. But this is, you know, yeah, interesting. Fun.
I am so excited by that. I think that is just marvelous. I need something to watch. Yay. So now I know what I'm watching. I know what I'm watching now. So what happens now? You're going to watch Miss Saigon. That's it.
Okay, maybe, I
should have done the commercials. They should have had commercials for this. Now this wasn't a theatrical release, right? This was like on PBS or something, right?
No, I want to say it was VHS? Like the BBC. I think it was BBC or something like that. Because it was obviously, it's very, you know, UK based. You know, everything. It's not like the Broadway. They don't go to the Broadway side of things. They don't talk about the controversy and all that. It's very much. It's about the making of it to West End, I believe. Seems like it's more of a UK focused thing.
Amazing. Yeah, well, the controversy didn't really happen until it hit America.
Mm-hmm.
But London was fine.
With Equity.
With mm-hmm. Mr. Price.
Mm-hmm.
I liked his performance. Oh, sorry, I think it was so culturally.
It'll never happen. It's so wrong, but his performance is, if you can see the museum piece of the era, it is a good performance.
I don't know what else to say. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, sir, do you have a favorite thing?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I do have a favorite thing, and this was also one I was like, I have to look this up to see if we've ever talked about it before. I think we've mentioned it a few times usually as a punchline to a joke. And I was like, maybe
Beef
I should
dinner theater.
No, they can. I have nothing to say to Beef and Boards.
Sorry.
But I was like, I should look this up and see if it's actually something that we've like talked about. We have not. And it's on Apple Music. So I was like, I'm going to listen to it. And I'm also on Spotify now. I did join the Spotify revolution as well. And it's on there too. And I was like, let me listen to this. And I was like, oh, this is actually a really fun score. This is a very fun score. This show is Charles Strauss's Mayer, the musical.
Yep.
The musical. Yep. So folks, for those of you that are unaware, I liked it a lot. So folks, I was watching a documentary a few weeks ago, which is great. It's on Netflix. You should watch it, called Koch, which is a documentary about the mayor of New York City in the 70s and 80s, or late 70s, early 80s, Ed Koch, who was this gregarious, larger-than-life figure, who wrote an autobiography, and they decided to make the autobiography into a musical while he was still in office. And he was very supportive of this and loved this idea. In fact, he was the one that had the idea in the first place to make his book into a musical.
Shocking.
He's a very interesting and very interesting guy. He did a lot of great stuff for the city and then a lot of horrible stuff for the city. And the movie Koch, the documentary, really shows that. One of the things that's really hard to grapple with, like since time has gone on, is he did very little during the AIDS crisis. And one of the reasons that people said that is because he himself was never married. He was a confirmed bachelor. And the feeling was that he was himself gay, and that if he were to align himself with the gay cause, people would know it. So, in fact, just to show you a little bit of homophobia at this time, he ran against Andrew Cuomo a lot, and the Cuomo campaign put out a slogan that said, "Vote for Cuomo, not the homo." So take a look, folks. Take a look at the documentary. But that's not that's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is the musical Mayer. So
thank you.
It was done in 1985. It was done. Yep. Charles Strauss wrote the score. Bye Bye Birdie, Annie, Ian Albert, personal favorite I know of Kevin's. And it had this
Nightingale,
and the
Sarah Brightman's
big thing. And the book was by Warren Light. Warren Light is probably, it's interesting, he wrote this musical, but never really did another musical again. But he wrote such plays like Sideman, right? And he was a showrunner on Law and Order, Victims Unit. So I mean, this guy's had like an amazing, amazing career. But this was he was very, very young, and this was his first musical. Now I will say, there's a lot of stuff in this musical that if you were around at the time, you probably will get a big laugh out of it. Because there's jokes about like Bess Meyerson and Leona Helmsley. And if you're
that
like
New Yorker song, isn't there like a song?
Yes,
that
yes.
New Yorker?
But I will say, folks, I like a lot of this score. It's going to feel very much like the orchestrations, I'm sorry, are going to sound very much like, you know, community theater reduced band. Like there's a lot of synth.
It was 1985. They had just started putting the synth into orchestration, so they got a little excited. They got a little over synth zealous, I think, a little bit in the mid 80s. I'm looking up in my orchestration book who did the orchestrations for me.
I'm sorry if I've offended somebody. I apologize.
No.
But yeah, so anyway, so it started off Broadway at the top of the gate in Greenwich Village, which I think is the building I know is still there. Then it moved to Broadway. Name the theater that it moved to when it moved to Broadway.
This is like a small, little, sweet, little, tiny show. Music Box? I don't know.
No, listen to this. Tell me, can you tell me where this is located? I should have asked you that. I should have asked you where it's located. Can you tell me where the Latin Quarter Theater is located on Broadway?
Oh, the Latin Quarter Theater.
I have no idea. Okay, I'll tell you where it is now. Do you know where the M&M shop is?
Oh my God, wow.
That used to be the Latin Quarter. And before that, it was called the Princess. And so it moved over there. It ran for about 70 performances. They got a couple of, Drama Desk nominations. I don't think they got any Tony nominations. I think the score, like I said, there's going to be a lot of like pop culture references. So if you don't know who A Beam was, you might want to have Google ready to take a look with you. But there are some amazing songs in this, including You Can Be a New Yorker Too.
Yeah.
March of the Yuppies. Mm-hmm. Which I think is very funny, and some of this stuff I find so interesting because it's kind of timeless. Like this idea, this whole song March of the Yuppies is all about gentrification. And I'm like, that don't go away. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a great song called Chutzpah. Chutzpah. A fabulous song called the last I Love New York song, which is making fun of all the different I Love New York songs that were around at the time. And a song at the end called My City, not to be confused with Seesaw, but another version of My City. I think it's a little charming. I think it's a little jewel box. I love an 80s synth. Lenny Wolpe plays, we should get him on this show. Mm-hmm. He's had such a career. He played Ed Koch. And apparently Ed Koch loved the show and was disappointed that it didn't run longer. Good for Ed Koch, who I think I'm like, listen, you can say what you want about him. He seems like he was a fun guy to be around, And you can watch the documentary Koch, and then you can take a listen to Mayer and get a full recording. And if you don't know who these people are, look them up, especially Leona Helmsley, the Queen of Mean. I was so impressed by
fascinating.
Tova Felch actually has done a one woman show about Leona Helmsley. It's a musical. Really? Yep, we did it at 54 Below. Yep.
Wow.
Ken Jennings from Sweeney Todd is in this.
Oh, you know who else is in this? I follow her on Twitter. She's a CBS Sunday. If you watch CBS Sunday Morning, she's a one of the people that is often on there. Nancy Giles is her name.
African-American woman.
She started out and she did a lot of shows. And in fact, I tweeted her because I was like, wait a minute, I see it because they had her on it and she was talking about one of her clips and I could see the poster in the background of Mayer. And so I tweeted at her and I was like, Nancy, nice pick, nice poster back there. And she was like, I know, I love doing that show. So I thought that was kind of fun.
You're talking about Mayer?
Yeah, because I was like, because I'm whoever Twitter followers is going to be like, hey, nice Mayer poster. And so she wrote back and she was like, I love doing that show. That was a really fun musical. Thought that was kind of funny.
I love that. Now, in Frank Rich's review, he says that like the score is serviceable with a peppy showbiz lilt to it. I agree, it's peppy.
Thanks.
And he goes, but the lyrics to songs like March of the Yuppies, How Am I Doing, and Chutzpah are often as predictable as their titles. I'm sorry, I don't find them to be predictable. Like, what are you looking for? Like, when you're doing a parody song, what are you looking for? Like it shouldn't be obscure. It should be right on the nose. That's the point of it.
Now, did Charles Strauss do his own lyrics for this?
He did.
I think he did. That's right.
He did music and lyrics, and I like them, and I think he did a really good job.
Okay, so, Rob. Wow. Well, we look forward to seeing this in your next season for...
So, shut the fuck up. maybe I can play Ed Koch. I'll play them.
I'd pay good money for that.
You can be in it too, Kevin. You can be on synth.
Thank you.
You can play either synth 1 or synth 7, whichever one you want to play. So mine is Mayer, yours is Miss Saigon. And hey, before we go, we have sad news. We have some sad news. We don't want to end on a down note, but one of our former guests has passed away. And a great, great guy, the wonderful Billy Goldenberg, passed away. Go ahead, sorry, yes.
No, I was just going to say it was one of my favorite interviews because I was ruminating on it because that was a couple years ago. And he was one of my favorite interviews because, he was he the most well-known musical theater composer? No, I mean, but he was in the room with so many amazing people and he spilled the beans. I just thought he was so honest and open and gave us stories that I think that had never been heard before.
Yeah, you can go back and take a listen to our interview with him. I mean, his big show for musical theater fans is Ballroom. He wrote the music to Ballroom and gave us one of the most gorgeous songs, 50%. Right? Which is done so often now, usually by people too young to do it, but that's okay.
It's okay.
And he told great stories about working with Michael Bennett and Dorothy Loudon. But in addition to that, he was B. Arthur's accompanist and had great stories about her.
And best friend. I mean, they were like
and best friends. Friend. And then we didn't cover this because our podcast doesn't cover it. His legacy in the world of pop music He worked with Streisand. He worked with Elvis. He worked, I think, with Michael Jackson. I mean, the number of people that he worked with, and he was this quiet, little, mild-mannered guy. You would have no idea. I found this out. Somebody is making a documentary about him, and they're in the process of making the documentary. And I saw that in a couple of the obituaries. And then I remembered somebody, the person who's making the documentary reached out to us because they had heard the interview with him.
Yeah. That's,
I was like, that's good. I'm happy. I hope they have enough footage to put everything out because it's wonderful. And so we're sorry. He was 84 years old, lived a great life. And our concert, a lot of the clips of our ballroom concert that we did at 54 Below is online. So just go on to YouTube.
Go check them out. Yeah. Go check them out. Friends.
And take a look, because you get to, I mean, we had a really good cast in that. We had Marilyn May, Leroy Reams, Lonnie Ackerman, Jane Summerhays.
Yeah, I will be going to check those out.
It was a special one. So anyway, so go back, take a listen to Billy Goldenberg, interview with us, or go listen to 50%. And we'll see you on Saturday for trivia, the musicals of the swinging 60s.
That's right. We'll see you then. Have a good rest of your week, everybody.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.